Welcome to the Crazy Love Podcast. If someone were to ask you, how has God blessed you? What would be your first response? In this week's episode, Francis Chan continues walking through the book of Ephesians, urging us to value God's ultimate gift, Jesus Christ the Beloved, above all other blessings.
Preaching through the book of Ephesians is going to be a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I was like all excited about it. And then the more I study it, the more I'm like, it's driving me crazy because I'm going, there is so much in a few verses. Like I look at the verses we looked at last week or 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, wow, I really did not do that justice. There's too much. I mean, I literally looked and I thought, this is 10 sermons. I could pick out 10 different messages that I want to preach out of those four verses. Each one would take hours to expound on and for you to meditate on it. And I'm praying to God going, God, I don't know what to do. Like, what do you want me to do? I don't want to skip anything. I don't want to belittle anything. And yet, this book is really big. And if we just go one word at a time, we're not going to finish in our lifetime. So I'm just, it's been a struggle. And I'm praying for you. I'm praying that something supernatural happens today. I mean, I just want to look at those verses again that we looked at a couple weeks ago. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. I mean, just the first two words, blessed be. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like we talked about this, we want to come with the mindset of blessing Him. Did you come tonight thinking, God, I want to bless you? I know that if I sing with the right heart, I know if I confess my sins, if I come into your presence, you're actually blessed by that. Man, that's a whole message in itself. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. See, so often we think about physical blessings. We think about things we can see and we can touch here on the earth. A lot of our prayers are about spiritual blessings. When people ask you, what are you most grateful for? Sometimes we'll think about physical things. But he's saying, he's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Remember, I think it's John 4, when the guy was paralyzed. And Jesus looks at him, and what does he say? He says, your sins are forgiven. I mean, these guys are carrying this paralyzed person to Jesus. What are you wanting Jesus to do? Get him to walk, right? Give him his ability back. But Jesus starts with something so much bigger, and he says, your sins are forgiven. He gives him the spiritual blessing. And the people are like, well, you can't, who are you to forgive his sins? And Jesus is saying, okay, what's harder? Forgiving his sins or making him walk? He goes, but just to show you that I have power to forgive his sins, get up and walk. And the guy starts walking. But sometimes we just skip to the physical. And what he's saying is, God, I want to come here. I want to bless you. Because you've already blessed me with the important things, the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. This should be the foundation of our lives. That no matter what happens on this earth, we go, you know what? I know what's in store for me. I have spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, and that's forever. So nothing can destroy me here on this earth. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. You guys, if you have a day off, if you Sabbath this week, you could take your whole Sabbath and just focus on that phrase. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. You could meditate on that for days. You could be praying to God and say, God, please help me to believe you chose me before you said, let there be light. You chose me in Jesus, in him, before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and blameless. He chose us before the foundation of the world that we become this people who are holy and blameless. So we are holy positionally because of what Jesus did on the cross. But it goes beyond that. He gives us his spirit so that we really can be what he's always wanted. Remember what he wants. God, when he made man, he wanted mankind to be this group of people that lived the way that he wanted them to, who loved his law. And when everyone rebelled, then he chose the nation of Israel. He goes, okay, I want you to be different. Okay, the world's not going to go with me, but would this one nation, would you guys be holy and blameless? Because this is what I want. I want a group of people that live the way that I want them to live. And they keep rebelling, rebelling, rebelling. And then Jesus comes. He dies for our sins. And those of us who believe, those whom he's chosen, that he chose before the foundation of the world, he's saying, okay, now you, okay, I don't care how the rest of EPA, Palo Alto, the Bay Area lives. I chose you to be holy. I want this group just to live differently. I don't care how they talk. I don't care what they pursue here in my church. I chose you before the foundation of the world because I wanted you to be one of those people that's holy and blameless before me. When's the last time you thank God that he chose you to be holy and blameless before him? Oh, God, I want to be one of those people you look at that pleases you, that loves your law, and say, God, I want to be 100% holy. I don't want any sin in my life. I want to be one of those people that you've always wanted on this earth. I want us as a church to be that people group that's holy and blameless before him. In love. In love, he predestined us. Obviously, I could preach a ton of messages about the love of God. You see how so many sermons in these few verses, so many deep thoughts you have to get that this is not God doing something out of obligation. Well, I have to because I'm holy, because I'm merciful, because I'm gracious. No, in love. We have a God, that consuming fire, who loves us and wants us to love him. We want to be holy and blameless, not just because we fear him, not just because these commands are right, because we love him and because he loves us. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself. See that? He chose us before the foundation of the world. He predestined us. For people say, do you believe in predestination? I go, well, it's kind of hard not to. I mean, it does say. Now, the extent to what that means, I don't know completely. But I do believe he chose me before the foundation of the world because that's what Ephesians says. I believe he predestined me for adoption to himself as his son. So, yes, I believe that. If I don't, I got to say, well, I don't really think he chose me before the foundation of the world. And I don't really think he predestined me for adoption to himself as his son. I go, no, somehow, however it works in the mind of God, it's beyond me. But he chose me, Francis Chan, before the foundation of the world. And he predestined me for adoption to himself. Oh, I could preach hours on adoption. want to encourage everyone to adopt a child. If for no other reason to understand this verse. When we adopted Dalal, like, she was a girl of 16, she was in need. I had no idea how deep this relationship was going to get and how huge it was going to be for my walk with God. To adopt, to choose someone, and then to want that person to feel secure, securely loved by you. I want her to know, like everything in me, I just want her to know that I so love her, and she is my daughter, she is my child. I adopt her to myself. It just gives you an understanding of, wow, that's what you feel about me, God? So far beyond that, you desire that of me. You predestined to adopt me to your. You wanted me for yourself as your son through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So why did God choose you? Why did he predestine us? Why did he want to adopt us to himself? The answer is in that phrase. According to the purpose. What purpose? What's the purpose of all of this? Purpose of his will. His will. His desire. Why did God do this? He wanted to. It wasn't his obligation. God, we have a God who says, no, I want to do this. This is all according to my will. I chose you to be holy and blameless. Why? Because I wanted to. Well, why did you adopt me? Why did you? I wanted to. According to the purpose of my desire, according to the purpose of my will, I chose you in love to the praise of his glorious grace. It's kind of where we left off last time. To the praise of his glorious grace. Glorious grace. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how sometimes, you know, most of us were raised with this idea that if it seems too good to be true, it probably is, right? And so that's just the way we think. And so when we come to God's grace and go, okay, so you're telling me, because I know everything I've done in life, right? We're all thinking this. You've all done things that others don't know about. You've thought things that you are so ashamed of. Yet God says, I want to lavish you with my grace for no reason. Even when you're rebellious against me, I just want to bless you. And you hear that and you go, that's too good to be true. That's impossible. No one on earth does that. But you got to understand, this is God's glorious grace. Don't treat God like a human being. Don't treat God like you treat anyone else in your life. I mean, we know this about his power, right? Don't you? You don't look at God and go, there's no way you could just speak something into existence. No one does that. You can't just say, let there be light, and then light shows up. No one does that. No, you accept his power. You don't say, God, that's impossible. You told Moses that if he just looked at you, he would die because you're that holy. That's impossible. No one is like that. You don't say that. You go, no, God is holy. He's beyond me. And God is powerful. He can speak things into existence. He does whatever he wants. Well, here he says he's gracious. that his grace is glorious. No one's ever treated you like this. And that's why he says, God wants all of this to be to the praise of his glorious grace. His grace is glorious. It's like no one else's. I don't care who's blessed you on the earth when you're undeserving. It's not nearly as glorious as God's grace. And that's why we praise him. We go, God, I just got to believe that you are like no one else. And you gave grace to me. You showed grace to me when I was a sinner, when I was your enemy. This is amazing, amazing grace. To the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In the beloved. You see how there's a lot of sermons in there? And it's hard to gloss over any of those. That's why I would encourage you to memorize this. I encourage you to meditate on each one of these. I encourage you to just please, this week, if you could just pray through this passage. Okay? If you could just pray and say, God, I want to bless you. Blessed. Blessed be you, God. I want to bless you because you... I mean, can you pray this? Can you just, when you're alone, can you just go, God, I was doing it this afternoon. I'm just going, God, you've blessed. I want to bless you right now. I want this to be a blessing. I want you to look down on this earth, see my heart, see this guy in his bedroom, just going, God, I want to bless you because you've blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. I want to bless you. Because you've chosen me. God, I can't believe you chose me before the foundation of the world. Oh, God, can my soul just bless you right now for choosing me before you made the earth, before you created the ocean, before you said, let there be light. You chose me, and I want to praise you. Have you ever done that? And you chose me, God, to be holy and blameless. God, thank you. I love that you chose me to be holy and blameless because I don't want to walk in sin because I know where sin leads. But you chose me to be holy and blameless. God, thank you that you predestined me, that in love you predestined me for adoption. You've made me your son. You adopted me to yourself according to the purpose of your will because you wanted to. Thank you, God, that you wanted to do this for me. And God, I just want to praise your grace because it's glorious. I don't know anyone that's come close to blessing anyone like you've blessed me. In the beloved. This is so important. So I want to camp on this for a little bit. In the beloved. Okay, I know that if we walked in and say, how has God blessed you? You'd have a list of things. Go to your average church, any Christian church around, and if you sat as an usher or stood there as people walked in, say, hey, how has God blessed you? You'd get a slew of answers. A lot of people say, wow, I was sick. I'm healthy now. Oh, my wife and I didn't think we could have a kid, and we have a kid. I didn't think I'd ever get married. I got married. People say, I'm blessed for this. I'm blessed for this. I'm blessed for this. But you got to understand the book of Ephesians is about Jesus. He's blessed us, and we praise his glorious grace because he blessed us. How? In the beloved. In the beloved. If you look at the verses, you see how in verse 3, he's blessed us in Christ. In verse 4, even as he chose us in him. Verse 5, he breathed in us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. And here he says he's blessed us in the beloved. It's always about Jesus. So back in, like, I want to say 2009, I bought this Toyota Corolla, okay, from a friend of mine. He salvaged it and made it run. And it was a 2008 Toyota Corolla. And hardly any miles on it. But in 2016, I gave away that Toyota Corolla. In 2016, I gave the keys of that Toyota Corolla to Justin, along with my daughter. It was like a package deal. You can have Rachel and my Toyota. And so now when I was walking Rachel up the aisle, I am bawling my eyes out because I knew I'd have to give up that Toyota. I'm thinking about everything. I mean, this is your first child, and you remember the joy of the child being born, and you're freaking out. Even in the womb, you're like, whoa, look at it move. And then it comes out, and then, the first few months I don't like that much, but once they start talking and interacting, I mean, Rachel and I did everything together, went everywhere together. And so I'm walking her down the aisle, and it's just you're flooded with memory after memory of these 21 years of just, I'm just bawling. And then it took a while. I think we hugged, and then I didn't want to let go. Because it's just weird. So, yeah, there's no way I can explain to you as a dad what that feels like when it's, you're just going, this is all I know. I've been the man in her life. It's always been about me. And now it's over. And you're about to hand her over to someone else. What if at that moment, Justin looks at me and goes, man, thanks for the Toyota. I would be like, what? What are you talking about? You know, Pete got a Honda Fit that came with Mercy, you know? And what, every time I see Peter, he's like, oh, that Fit, it's got a lot of power. You know, I'm like, wow, I fit my drums in the boot. And I'd be like, wow, what are you guys doing? I gave you my beloved. Do you have any clue what it's like for a father to give his beloved child? See the blessing. But if every time the guys come over, they talk about their Toyota or their Honda, and I'm just like, you guys, this is so offensive. And this is what the church sounds like today in America. It has to change, you guys. This is offensive to God. When we have this list of all these blessings, oh, we're mad about him not giving us certain blessings, and it's no longer about his beloved. He goes, don't you understand? I bless you with my beloved. Do you know what I feel towards these girls that I've had in my life for 20, 21 years, and then I hand them to you like, gosh, now here's an eternal father and son relationship that is perfect, and it's eternal, and he says, I'm giving him to you. He goes, I've blessed you in the beloved. This is my beloved son. What is that voice from heaven when Jesus is being baptized? This is my beloved son. This is the son that I love and I'm giving him to you. Has this been what you've been blessing God for? God, you blessed me in the beloved. I am praying that God literally changes us, where we have such a clear picture of his beloved that we treasure him so far beyond everything else. That anyone that asks us about the blessing in our life, it's immediately, the beloved. What else? The beloved, he gave me Jesus. Now we can go to verse 7. See, it's in him. When it says that he gave us his beloved, then he says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. In him we have redemption. Do you guys understand redemption? You know how on bottles, I don't know if anyone has a water bottle on them, you know, like how it says redemption value. Anyone have anything like that says redemption value? No, not like a water bottle, like those plastic cheapy ones that you buy. Yeah, like does that one have a CRV? No, doesn't have it, redemption value. Does that one have redemption value? That's got to have redemption value. Yeah, 5 cents. That one's 5 cents. It's in English, Peter. That one's 10 cents? 10 cents. And now, here, let me have those. Good. You guys done with these? Yeah, there's not much left. Okay, so the idea is, like this one, the redemption value is 5 cents. So the idea is, was this yours, Pete? Oh, both of these are yours? Wow. Just the water. Okay. That's yours. Okay. So the idea is Pete bought this, Diana bought this, and the owner is saying, I want it back. I'm the rightful owner. I'll give you 5 cents for it, and I'll give you 10 cents for this. That's so let's say I made these bottles and I, you know, filled them up with Brew Doctor and water, and I sell it. You know, and I put it out there, and they go, oh, I want that, I want that. I want to use it for myself. And they use it all up. I go, well, I want that back. I want my bottle back. I want to redeem it from you. Here, let me pay you whatever, any price, well, up to 10 cents. I want to redeem this. I want it back. That's the idea of redemption. The owner is buying it back. It's kind of like when the Israelites were enslaved by the Egyptians. God's like, I'm going to redeem you. They're treating you like slaves. I want to take you out and bring you back to the rightful owner. Probably my favorite picture of this is in Hosea. When Hosea is told, go, you prophet, go marry a prostitute. So he marries a prostitute named Gomer. Bummer. He marries a prostitute named Gomer. And so Gomer's like, no way. You know, someone wants to marry me, a whore? Great. So he buys her, or he doesn't buy her at that point, I don't think. But he marries her, but then Gomer leaves him and starts messing around with other guys. Leaves him. And then in Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, God says, I want you to go and I want to buy her back. Go and buy her back. See, this is redemption. This is where Hosea's like, ah, she's unfaithful. She was not good to begin with. She was a prostitute, she's a whore. And I already married her and then she ran away from me. But you know what? I'm going to buy her back. That's what he did with Israel. He's like, look, I wanted you to be this holy nation and you go and do your stuff and you run away from me. And he keeps redeeming them. He goes, I want them back. Hosea, I want you to do this because it's a picture of what I do to Israel. She doesn't deserve it. She didn't deserve it to begin with. She certainly doesn't deserve it now, but I'm going to redeem her. You guys, the story of Israel is the story of our lives. God has redeemed you. So don't ever think it's because you did something deserving. It's God saying, I created you for me. You used yourself and your life for yourself. But still, I want to redeem you. Take you back to be mine. And I'll pay. I'll pay the redemption. But the redemption was not 5 cents. It was not 10 cents. It says redemption through his blood. Redemption through his blood. See, when he says he gave us his beloved, that's where it's different from me giving mercy to Pete or me giving Rachel to Justin. Or when I give away Ellie and her 1999 Toyota Camry. I know you got the short end of the stick. But the idea is, I give them to a good life. What God gave when he gave his son, he gave him over to a violent death. He goes, I redeemed you through his blood. I blessed you with the beloved. Not just so you have a friend, someone to talk to when you're lonely. I've blessed you in the beloved in that I used him to redeem you and I used his blood on the cross. And so you're going to talk about some other blessing? Or you're going to feel like your life is not blessed because something I didn't give you? I redeemed you by the blood of my son. I just want to read a couple verses to you. In Galatians 3, verse 13, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Right now in your heart, just thank God. Thank him for Jesus. Thank him for redeeming you from the curse of the law. You were cursed, and Jesus took it for you by hanging on a tree for you. Thank you, Jesus. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, it says, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify us. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He freed us from our sins by his blood. This is what we celebrate today. We're free. That's why that verse says the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. You're forgiven. You're forgiven because you were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And again, I know it sounds too easy, too good to be true, but remember, his grace is glorious. Don't let any of your actions or your failures cause you to question his forgiveness. Because this was never about your behavior. It was about his grace. It is never about you being good enough. It's about his blood being enough. Do you believe that when Jesus gave himself up and his blood was shed for us, that that was powerful? That was enough to finish the work. That was enough to cleanse you. Don't make this about you. Because if you make it about your failures, then when you're doing well, you'll make it about your successes. It's never about you. When he chose you before the foundation of the world, does it sound like that was about you? When he predestined you for adoption as sons, you think you had something to do with that? No, it was according to the purpose of his will. And now he has forgiven us. He has redeemed us. He paid the price, and the price was the blood of Jesus. And so we're going to celebrate that right now. That's why every week we come to the table. That's why we don't want a week to come by without this being the priority, because we don't ever want this to be about anything else.
Thank you for listening to the Crazy Love Podcast. Join us next time for a new episode, but until then, for more resources from Crazy Love Ministries or to support the work of Crazy Love, please visit our website at crazylove.org.